Well, welcome everybody to another edition of The Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas. And joining me, as always, from the Dallas and Fort Worth area, is my good friend, my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. And Terry, as soon as my fingers work, I'll get you on screen. There you go, sir. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, buddy. I'm just sitting here relaxing. It's Saturday, getting ready for football, and
Okay. Well, I got my DVR set for my game, so I'll leave it at that right now. But anyway, for you people that are just joining us today, we are going to be talking about good versus evil. It is a time for choosing. And I'm not talking about just Israel or just Lebanon or Iran or any of them. I'm talking about for every country on earth and every person on earth. It is a time for choosing. You get to pick whether or not you want to go to heaven or hell. It's your choice. It's not God's choice. God wants you in heaven, but it's your choice to make. And we're going to make that clear today. And as a matter of fact, we have I don't know if he's going to be happy with me calling him this or not, and you can correct me when you get on here if you want to, sir. But we are going to be joined again by a great contributor to The Last Christian, and that's Mr. David Paxton. And David, thank you once again for joining us here on The Last Christian.
Hello, girls and boys. How are you?
Well, I've been better, and you guys know that I've been jumping through hoops just trying to get this thing started today. Mm-hmm. I've had nothing but computer issues all day, and let me tell you about that. I had a good pastor friend of mine tell me one time, you know, the Satan will jump in. He'll try to stop you. You know, if you're trying to preach the Word of God to somebody, you know, if you're trying to be a teacher, Bible teacher, the devil will do everything he can to stop it. He doesn't want that message out there. You know, now David is a Bible scholar.
Guys had to prevent all of that too. It's in the generational contracts. We talk about stuff like that, and once we know our authority, we can actually lock them outside the building. But we'll get into that another time.
Well, you know, we might get into it today. Who knows? Thing is that I used to do video for a church that Terry and I attended, and Jim Burt was the pastor there. I think this is like the fifth time I've given him a plug. Anyway.
The check's in the mail.
Yeah. Anyway, he said, you know, this message is going to be so good today. You know, we really got to get it out. And sure enough, as soon as we started, nothing happened. It didn't record. It didn't broadcast. But the thing is that I had it on record. So, no, it didn't broadcast it. 11 a.m. Central Time. It broadcasted around 1 p.m. Central Time because I had that recorded version and it played, you know. So anyway, just kind of gives kind of an idea of what's going on there. But anyway, let's get back to it. Right now, Israel is at war because terrorists, you know, and people are shy about using that term. I'm not. Terrorists from Hamas invaded Israel and killed over 1,500 people. And that's the reason they're at war. Israel is now poised to move in and take care of those individuals. And now, I covered this in the last show, but it's important to repeat it again for those of you that missed it. And that is that the Palestinians there, they want to stop this war because they're running out of They have no electricity. They have no water. They're trapped, north, south, east, and west. They're trapped. And Israel is about to move in, and they don't want that to happen. And again, now, these people cut off the heads of innocent babies. One baby was actually removed from the mother's womb, umbilical cord attached, and laid next to her dead body. Now, if you don't call that terrorism, then educate yourself, because it is. So any one of you that is saying, oh, well, Israeli citizens spat on a Christian. Okay. Let's say that somebody that was anti-God, anti-Bible did that. Does that compare to cutting off the head of infants or cutting a baby out of a mother's womb? Or does it even compare to tying up a parent and watching terrorists terrorize their children and murder them before tying them up better and setting them on fire? I would rather be spat on myself than burned alive. What do you guys think? David, go ahead.
Well, I think number one, there's always the crazy people of any kind of a religion. So even with Israel, and the ones who spit, I think they're the ones that wear the big black hats. We won't mention their names, but those are the ones that actually spit. If I'm not wrong, correct me if I'm wrong on that. But yeah, that's kind of a typical thing, and that's not right. There are those that believe that that particular group is not necessarily the real Israel, but the synagogue of Satan. So I'm not saying either direction, but there are those who believe that and that they shouldn't have been there. And it begins with an ash. So, that's kind of where I'm at with that. But you said it was Hamas. I thought it was Hamas.
Well, that might be a good thing to use. I remember way back now, I'm going back. Some people remember this and some people won't, but the Gulf Wars, not too many years ago. And somebody told, George H.W. Bush. Now I'm talking about the first Gulf War, not the second one, but somebody told him that one way to insult, the Iraqi president at the time, who was Saddam Hussein, the best way to do that without causing everybody else to go into a fury was to identify him as Saddam Hussein. Saddam. And that's what he did. If you go back and you look at all the clips, he called him that every single time. Every time, you know, and it just drove the guy insane, you know. But anyway, to catch back up to today, Israel is about to move in, if it hasn't already, by airtime. But the bigger thing is that Israel is now in a more severe conflict with those people in the northern regions of Israel, which are on the border with Syria and Lebanon. And that is a group called Hezbollah. Hezbollah puts Hamas to shame. These are the people that control the majority of the missiles. They are war tested. These are more like army troops than terrorists. And Israel and Hezbollah are now exchanging fire, and it is increasing. This is a second front. They're already being attacked. They've already been attacked from the south. Now they are evacuating their citizens from the northern cities of Israel in anticipation of that second front opening up, as I have predicted several times. And now there are the Houthis. I believe that's how you say it, which are on. I'm sorry?
The Hooters?
Hooties or something like that. I don't remember what they call it. It's another terrorist organization that is in the West Bank, and they're beginning to fire there too. So that is another attack that's coming, and I promise you it's going to open up. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a third front, and that one comes from the West Bank. Now, there was a rocket that was fired from Gaza by the Islamic Jihad. And that rocket went up and came back down on Gaza into the parking lot of a hospital. It damaged 4 or 5 cars, did minimal damage to the hospital. Immediately, Congress Lady Rashid Tlaib here in the United States said that it was fired from Israel, hit the hospital, and killed 500 people. Complete lie. But that set off all these protests. You say, David, I don't know if you've run into them in New York, but I know for sure they are there. And they have
in New York. I mean, they tend to just get those cameras and focus in on them. They're not as big as you might think from what they're saying, but that's right. Just the media trying to blow it up.
Right. And there's another one. There was a protest, I believe yesterday, and I don't want to date the program, but I believe it was yesterday, where they showed Times Square for a pro-Israel rally. And as far as it looked like New Year's Eve, that's what it looked like. I mean, the crowd was so huge there.
There's actually more Jews in New York City than in Israel. So,
yeah, without a doubt, you know. So anyway, the bottom line here is that the world is getting to choose. You can choose God and support Israel, or you can support terrorism. You can support those that want Israel off the map. And I guarantee you that at the moment that you come to see the Lord, no matter whether you live out your life or you're killed, you know, whatever, however you leave, however your life here on earth ends, then you're going to say hello to your new daddy. And that's Satan himself. And you're going to be there for eternity because you only get a one-way ticket. There's no other way back. And Terry has written about the moment of the rapture in a book that he calls Blast Off Repeatable, now in its sixth edition. Terry, what happens? What happens at the moment of the rapture? Go ahead.
Okay. And listen, I've got a caveat on this thing on Satan. Isaiah chapter 14 gives us a clear picture of Satan. And everybody pictures him as being the chief honcho, el jefe of hell. But chapter 14 of Isaiah very quickly says and declares that he is despised and ridiculed by everyone in hell. And they say to him, "Are you the one who led us here?" So he does not have a good time when he gets there. He's not sitting in a chair in charge of anything. I had to throw that in just to get the word of God and its clarity out there to the world, because we all have our different views, but the word of God never misses the point. Going back to your question, thank you very much for that, Joel. The reality is the Bible doesn't teach us anywhere to think about and to worry about what's coming on us. The fact is, to put it the short end of the stick on this, is it's going to be a whole lot worse before it gets better. In fact, Jesus even says it's going to get so bad that it's going to get worse than it ever shall be. So that's where that's going. That's where the world's headed. But we who believe in Jesus are being instructed through the word of God to anticipate and smile, just like, "Oh man, I'm going to a football game. It's going to be great." Whatever your giddy up is, whatever you want to get involved in, whatever thrills you, "Oh, I'm going to this beach or that horse race," or whatever you're that. If you multiply that anticipation by the millions and millions, you discover Blast Off Repeatable. Repeatable, the reason I use the word is because it's in the Latin Vulgate, Jerome's Latin Vulgate. He was a tremendous scholar in the 4th century, and he's the one who coined the Latin word from which we get the word rapture. Don't go telling people that the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's in over a million of them across the planet.
Billion.
So that is a total.
You're telling over a billion of them, not a million. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, now Joel is tied up in numbers, so he's, if you want the real numbers, go to Joel. Me, I'm just out there shouting the word. So he's,
you're doing a good job,
right,
shouting. You're doing a good job shouting the word. Let me tell you, I you know, Terry, he did write Blast Off, Repeat More. I encourage you guys, you know, if you're not watching us, if you're just listening to the audio edition here, go to T.L. Farley Books. Now, that's all you got to do. Just use your favorite search engine. Go to T.L. Farley Books, and you'll find Blast Off Repeat More, along with two other books that he has. The first one that he ever wrote, which is When Now Becomes Too Late.
Now Becomes Too Late.
Right, yeah. And that one is also on the rapture, but it's not as in-depth as Blast Off Repeat More by a long shot. Mm-hmm. And then you got another one, Terry, but I don't remember the name of it, but it really doesn't
called
tie into the
Reaches.
Yeah, Distant Reaches. It doesn't really tie into the rapture. Yeah. Yeah.
No, so, it doesn't. But what it does do is it supports the author of those two books by giving people a view. Who is this masked man that's talking about Jesus and
well,
quoting,
you know,
all these Bibles?
And if anybody wants to know,
no,
that. If anybody wants to know that, they can pick up.
Even or not, there are people out there that are interested in that kind of thing. But anyway,
I want to focus on the rapture. I don't want to focus on your history. Okay, David, go ahead. Go ahead, David.
The follow-up book he has coming out is "Jesus is Coming." Look busy.
Well, now just real quick, and Terry, I don't know if you have heard this yet or know about it. But, you know, for, I don't know, probably the last 2 years, I have been saying, hey, you know, to the best of my ability, best of my knowledge, Terry's the only one that has ever written about the rapture. Okay. I'm talking about not before it happens, not after it happens, but the moment that it happens. Okay. That I've been saying that for about 2 years. Last night. And you're not a rich man, Terry, so you can't do this, okay? But last night, I saw a commercial for a new book. And I don't remember the author's name. I don't even remember the exact title, to be honest with you.
Sure.
But it was, you know, about the rapture. It was about the moment of the rapture. And it was really highly publicized, you know, and all that. Mm-hmm. Now, he probably read your book and decided to, you know, do that. I mean, I'm just taking a guess, you know, but this guy's actually got a lot of cash.
Let me throw something without disparaging a very lovely, wonderful man who was a great man of God, a great evangelist. Long story short, over the years, he first began to teach in a premillennial tribulation rapture and Jesus talking about the rapture and teaching about it and all of that. And then through the years of pressure, and I'm talking 30 or 40 or 50, 60 years, the man was in the ministry a long time, but he switched and he went to a place where he said, Jesus never talked about the rapture. Within theological circles, this is a point of contention. So anyway, but he stayed with that, and he's a very well-known, popular, very knowledgeable man in the Bible. And so when I came out with my first edition of Blastoff or PMOR, I did not know I was going to be writing anything else. I thought that was it. Little did I know. But I sent him a copy of the very first edition, and just to see what he would think, because I say on the cover, Jesus speaks to the rapture. But I back it up, with a whole bunch of scripture that supports this fact. He read that. I watched his show. He had a worldwide television show, and I watched it the next week, and he came out and he said, I've got a new book I'm going to write. Jesus did talk about the rapture. And he went on and on and on. Well, he got sick real quick and he died.
Oh boy, I don't want to be reminded about this getting sick and dying thing, okay? Because I went through all that except for the dying part just here recently.
Yes, you did. Yeah, you came awful close.
It sure
come
did.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, folks, this guy you're looking at didn't look like this about a month or so or 6 weeks ago, whatever. he was. I had to keep from crying when I had to look at him in that bed in the hospital and him with the horrible things going on. And he had to tell me all. He didn't leave out any details, folks. He was telling me about how bad it was. I had to pretend that I was listening and I liked it. But anyway, listen.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible.
This smiling, shiny faced guy is not the one I'm talking about. But anyway.
Well, and again, this brings us right back to it again, which is it's a time for choosing. I had made my choice. I am a child of God because I prayed that prayer of salvation that anybody can do. Because just like there is a last play in any football game, and you know, some of you probably seen me and Terry were talking about this before we got on. There was a game last week. And I don't remember who was playing them. David, if you're a college fan, maybe you can remember this. But anyway, it was between West Virginia and another school, college football. And I needed this other team to beat West Virginia in order to help my team. I mean, I needed West Virginia to win, I'm sorry, in order to help my team out in the standings. Okay. And so West Virginia fell behind on either a touchdown or a field goal with 14 seconds to go in the game. And I said, okay, well, that's it. That's it for that. You know, we don't gain this week, maybe next. And within a few minutes, I'm seeing these alerts come over that West Virginia just won. I said, no, they didn't. They fell behind with 14 seconds to go. They threw a Hail Mary pass. They won. Okay? They won the game. But the game was over at that point. The result is final. Okay, well, just like that, there is going to be a last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church. There has to be. Because everything
won't be saying Hail Mary, though.
Well, you don't have to say a Hail Mary. You don't have to say a Hail Mary. Roger Staubach came up with that one. Okay. But you don't have to say a Hail Mary. Instead, you say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Mm-hmm. I know mm-hmm. Jesus Christ mm-hmm. died for me. I know he died on the cross. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose after the third day, just like he said he did. I said he would. I know that more than 500 people saw him at the same time. I know that he promised us that he's coming back for his church before God unleashes 7 years of wrath. I know that Jesus Christ has risen and that he is with God in heaven, sitting at his right hand, and everything that needs to be done has been done. The rapture can happen at any second, and every Christian, living and dead, is going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. You can call it a comic book if you want to, but I'm telling you, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be left, we're going to be gone, and you're going to have to deal with the devil for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. 7 years.
Yeah. Okay. David, any comment?
Yeah. How much time we got before the break?
You have 5 minutes.
Oh, we got plenty of time. All right.
Okay. So you get into it.
As far as in contract terms, everything in the Bible is a contract. He made a contract with Adam and Eve.
Right.
Okay. Hey, you do this and this and this, be fruitful and multiply, take care of the garden and don't eat that. So we basically Eve added to the contract. She said, oh, and you can't touch it either. So it kind of messed up the contract, gave the devil an in there. So we.
He was a lawyer.
Yep, still is. We violated the terms and conditions of that contract. That's called sin. And the wages of sin is death. Okay. And, as in any contract, there has to be like kinds. So a man has to pay for your sins because the contract was made with man. So now that's why Jesus had to become a man in order to fulfill your contract, and the wages of sin is death. And when he says, hey, this is the blood of the new covenant, that word is diatheke in the Greek. It's literally a new contract. So Jesus signed a blood contract in which he purchased you back from the slavery and death that you were in with his own blood. And all you need to do is repent. Repent means to essentially rescind your signature due to fraud and deceit on that previous contract.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Now you can actually make null and void the contract that Satan brings against you because he's a liar, number one. So we've proven him to be a liar, and there was mm-hmm. fraud and deceit. So now if that contract is paid off and we've proven the accuser of being a liar, therefore your sins are paid for by Christ. He purchased you back. So that's literally how simple it is, even though the heart issue is very difficult. You have to overcome in your heart and say, I'm willing to make this contract and sign this blood covenant, this blood contract with Jesus, the creator of the universe. Your end of that contract, the terms and conditions for you are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he fulfills his part of the contract, which is he will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
And you can go live with him in all eternity. It is that simple, folks.
Let me break in real quick here, because I used to listen. I don't anymore. Okay. Since I became a Christian, I don't listen to this guy anymore. But I used to listen to a guy called Bill Maher. Okay. Mm-hmm. His show on HBO, and he had one before that, I think. He made a comment one time. It's one of the reasons why I don't listen to him anymore, except to show some clips where he's attacking the right people. But anyway, he said, what kind of God would send his own son to die? I don't want any part of that. Now, David, you're a Bible scholar, and I know that you have a way of making it clear to everybody. So clear it up for Bill Maher. clear it up for him and for everybody that follows that idiot as to, you know, it's not that God sacrificed his own son and there's no reward to it. You know, there's nothing to go along with it. He didn't just kill his son. Go ahead.
Yeah, he gained a multitude without number of sons, and that would include, you know, sons and daughters in the Hebrew. That's what it means. And so he sacrificed it, but that's because he loves you. So yeah, Bill Maher wouldn't understand it because Bill Maher does not have infinite love, and he does not have anything that he created.
He's an atheist,
just a
right.
created being. So God, the Creator, loves us far more than we can even think or imagine. So yeah, he would sacrifice basically himself, his begotten son,
right,
to say, hey, that's how much I love you. Because there's a handful of verses that are on creation. Oh, he flung the stars and he made all these animals, and that's really cool. But the entire rest of the Bible is about redemption. How much it cost him to come and get you out of your mess.
Right.
So that's a matter of love, really. And yeah, Bill Maher can't understand. None of us can understand how much love that is.
Well, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot. Okay, we're basically out of time for the first half of this show. But we're going to get into, in the second half of the show, I'm going to explain, and we're together, we're going to help you understand that what's going on in Israel right now, this is only the beginning, but it is the beginning of the end, and your time to choose is very, well, the window's
right
closing. Yeah, the window is closing, and it's closing very, very quickly.
Watch. This is the rapture. Watch.
Yeah. Okay, we just lost David. There he is.
No,
he's back.
That was the rapture.
Did you see how quick
David
he just vanished?
David, it's faster than that. Come on now, it's faster.
Did you see how fast he disappeared? I mean, that was like in a millisecond. And yeah, Terry's right.
Yeah, but he was faster.
Yeah. Okay, and we'll get into that in the second half, as well as Ezekiel 38, because Ezekiel 38 is about to come true. We're going to explain that one to you as well. So I really hope that you'll hang in there with us. And we will be back. It's about 3 minute break. So y'all hang in there. What it is news, if you want to hang in there for that. And it tells you what's going on in the world. Anyway, we'll be back in about 3 minutes with the second half of the show.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Nick Harper with the Week in Review. This week, U.S. President Joe Biden was among several world leaders to visit Israel. He met Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, but not several Arab leaders as planned, including Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas. His visit to Jordan to meet them was cancelled after an explosion at a hospital in Gaza killed roughly 500 people. Israel and Hamas each blamed the other for responsibility for the horrendous civilian death toll. FSN's Sarah Coates in Tel Aviv was following developments throughout the week and weighed up the impact of President Biden's visit.
A real whirlwind crisis trip for the U.S. president, coming at a time that the U.S. Is once again reaffirming its support for Israel, and while this region is really teetering on the brink. He also levelled a warning at other regional players. We're talking namely here about Iran and Hezbollah, saying, if you're thinking about attacking Israel, the message remains the same as it has this past week. Don't.
Biden said he brokered a deal to get aid into Gaza, but it remained stuck for several days waiting to cross from Egypt into Gaza. The UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres visited the Rafah border crossing in Egypt to try and kick-start the delivery of aid to the more than 2 million Palestinians in desperate need of assistance. But as Ross Cullen in Tel Aviv reported on Friday, there were still a number of challenges facing the aid delivery.
There are some real issues in the infrastructure side of this. The roads in and around the Rafah border crossing on the Israeli, after the Israeli airstrikes in that area on the Gaza side, have been cratered, potholed and damaged, and they have had to be repaired by Egyptian machinery being brought over from Egypt ahead of those trucks. As the works begin as a result of that, the Israeli airstrikes on the 10th and the 16th of October to try to repair the damage.
On Thursday, President Biden made an Oval Office address in which he urged Americans to get behind sending more than $100 billion of support to Israel and Ukraine. And he warned about the threats facing America and the world.
Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy, completely annihilate it. Hamas' stated purpose for existing is the destruction of the state of Israel and the murder of Jewish people. Hamas uses Palestinian civilians as human shields, and innocent Palestinian families are suffering greatly because of them. Meanwhile, Putin denies Ukraine has or ever had real statehood.
This week, the U.S. House of Representatives remained in limbo. Far-right Republican Jim Jordan lost several rounds of voting, with staunch opposition from within his own party. From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. And before we really get into Ezekiel 38, you guys saw that I had that on screen, and that's what we're going to focus on. But before we do that, I want to turn this over to Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. Terry, you've got something that you want to impart with everybody, and I want you to have that opportunity. So here you go.
Yeah, Jesus permeates every reality on the planet. A beautiful example during football season, it's Saturday, is Billy Graham tells the story, and it's a true story, it's a true testimony, it really happened. But Notre Dame was playing, and they're good. Again, Notre Dame's no Roman Catholic. Okay, are you with me on this? Anyway, so Notre Dame is playing somebody, and there's a real tight game, like we were talking about before in the show, and it gets down to the very last second, and somebody makes a touchdown. And as they do in the crowd, the Notre Dame crowd jumps to their feet, screaming, hollering, and clapping. The referee throws his arms up in the air, and he says, "Touchdown, Jesus!"
Yeah, well, you know, they've actually got and Terry, anybody that's into college football has seen it, you know, at the end of the Notre Dame stadium there, you know, there's a building, yeah. And on the side of that, and this is what you're talking about, by the way.
No, it's not what I'm talking about. That sign was put up there because that referee said that.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, there is a picture up there. It's really big, and you can see it.
Jesus, yes.
And they call that Touchdown Jesus at the yes. Notre Dame. They call that.
And that was where it came from. And he used that. He would tell that story in his things. You can go back and check the Billy Graham files. But anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, that's a, again.
My point is, you can be a Baptist. You can be a Presbyterian. You can be a radio announcer and talk about Jesus all day long. And if you don't know him, you're not saved. But if the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
No, nothing else. Call on Jesus. You don't have to know anything else. Call on Jesus.
So let's make that. I want to make that point even more clear. And that is, when you go to heaven, there isn't a Baptist section or a Methodist section or a Presbyterian section. There is a Christian section, and only a Christian section. The Bible says that all of these different groups or whatever are going to be represented, countries and all that stuff are going to be represented in heaven. But not one of them says, okay, there's a Catholic section up there, you know, or there's a Baptist section. Not one, you know. So anyway, good points there on that. David, you also had something that you wanted to go with concerning the rapture. And I want to give you the chance to do that as well. So I'm going to put you up here right away.
Oh, I know that guy. the Bible says we are changed from corruptible to incorruptible in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that is an interesting aspect. So a lot of people have been going on about how fast is the twinkling of an eye. So there's been a lot of suppositions, anywhere from the amount of time it takes light to go through your eye into your iris, or, you know, a little spark. Here in New York, it's measured as the exact amount of time between when the traffic light turns green and the guy behind you is honking. That would be But in reality, this is a much better explanation. And for you science geeks out there, you heard of Planck, P-L-A-N-C-K. Mm-hmm. And he basically came up with something called Planck time and Planck distances. He measured to the extreme. He realized, number one, the Earth, the whole universe actually is created because it's digital. Okay, it's actually divisible. And that's where we get the word atom from, is atomos, which means it's the smallest divisible part. And we used to think it was the atom, but it's actually smaller than that. It's so as in distance of length, it's 10 to the negative 33 centimeters, I believe, that you can't cut it in half anymore. It becomes without location. You're literally outside the time-space dimension at that point. Same thing happens with time. I think it's 10 to the negative 43 seconds. I got to check my numbers on that, but it's super small. So if you can imagine 43 zeros after a 10,
okay. You've already lost me, but anyway, keep going. No,
yeah. And you divide that second. So divide 1 second by 10 to the 43 zeros, and that's actually how time goes by. So it's a series of frames. Right now, we're recording at 30 frames per second. Imagine, 10 quadrillion, trillion, zillion frames in that second.
Right.
And since it is digital and Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Remember when Daniel was praying and then it still took 21 days for his prayers to get there because they're fighting and all this other stuff with the angels. Okay. But since Satan is the prince of the power of the air and Jesus is coming in the air to receive his own, he has to come between that time space continuum frames. So literally between one frame and the next frame is when Jesus comes and changes us from corruptible to incorruptible.
Amen.
Between those frames, this way the prince of the power of the air, he doesn't even know. He can't even fight it because it happens outside the time-space continuum,
right,
which would, in my estimation, be 10 to the negative 43 seconds. So try and geek that one out.
Well, and just to go ahead and really push this even further, because I followed that, and Terry said you lost him, but I know he didn't. I know he was just making that up. But anyway, Terry has been talking about this moment in all six editions of Blast Off for Panmore. And we have talked about this, the speed of the rapture before. But I think in order to follow up with what you said, I'm going to give Terry an opportunity to explain how he looks at this very same thing for people that aren't following you, David. Maybe they'll follow him because you're both going on exactly the same point, but you're saying it a little bit differently. So, Terry, you're up.
Yeah. The truth is David and I became friends on Facebook, talking to each other. And as we began to converse, David was the one who shared this with me on Facebook, and so I came out after he and I had discussed it, and I did a column on this, and I've actually entitled it and christened it this whole discussion Paxton's Planck theory, and then I credit him with all of this information that he just gave to the world free of charge, and it's absolutely impeccable, and it's absolutely perfect in terms of describing the speed with which Jesus is going to shout, "We're going to be gone." Now, in order to encapsulate it in a very short space of time, the shortness and quickness of the rapture, I tease people that they cannot actually think of it. If they're trying to think of how fast, it's already over. It's gone. You can't. It's too fast. And that's all the numbers that David was giving us. But interestingly, Paul in Philippians, and I'm closing with this, Paul in Philippians talks about it when he talks about us being seated, listen to this, seated in heaven, and yet we're watching the rapture happen. Okay, and that's a long explanation of a deep passage where he's talking about it. But that's actually the kind of vision we have to understand. It's going to be so fast, the only way we're going to be able to remember it is to be looking back at the history of the world when that moment happened, and we'll be in heaven seated in heaven and looking at the victory of Jesus and what he did for us when he paid and died for our sins, which, by the way, there's no charge. The charge was put on Jesus. He said the last words he said when he died, to tetelestai. It's a Greek word that means it's a thing they stamped on a bill of sale when you bought something. It's paid for. So all the sins of the world, not for ours only, the Apostle John said, not for ours only, but for the sins of the world. Your sins have been paid for. Call on Jesus. Time's running out. It's time to choose.
Amen. And really what I was talking about there, Terry, is that you had in the past on several shows talked about the Adam thing, you know, and the timing and the fact that, you know, you're talking about General Electric and all that. No, we don't have time now. We're done with that. So we've got to move on. We have to move on because we've got to get to Ezekiel 38. Because right now, what you're looking at in Israel with this Israeli war, you're going to have three fronts, but this isn't Gog Magog. Okay, and I prove that right now to those that are thinking that this could be the Gog Magog war. I want to correct you. Gog and allies attack Israel. This is Ezekiel 38, and that is verses 1-6. And notice I said countries. Okay, so Terry, can you read that? Ezekiel 38, verses 1-6.
Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, all splendidly clothed, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all its troops, the house of Togarmah from the far north and all its troops, many people are with you.
And here, David, is where I'm going to call on you because, I mean, I could go through this, but you are much more adept at it than I am. Look at these country names here. Now, of course, this is old, the old country name. And what I want you to do, if you can, is tell us what the new country name is. And that is Rosh.
Oh, yeah.
Meshech.
Go ahead. Similar. Rosh is the big place. So Gog and Magog is, right at the heart of the what they call the Magogians, which were probably the Scythians. Okay, and then Russia's kind of the whole top of it. But we see Turkey, we see Lebanon in there right
now. Okay, I'm going to stop you right there for just 1 second. Turkey's a NATO member. Okay,
yeah,
but they are called on as part of the Gog and Magog War. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing I'm going to point
They're Muslims, so.
Yeah, another thing I'm going to point to, though, is... It tells all the countries that are involved in Gog and Magog. So look at the world right now. Okay, Russia is right above Israel. They got troops on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. But here's one that is going to surprise people. And that is Iran. Okay, now if Iran is not listed as far as some... was it Psalm 83? It's not listed. Iran's not listed. Why? Because it was actually on Israel's side until 1976. I'm sorry, 1979. Because it was the Shah of Iran that had to run from Iran. He came to the United States. That's the reason we're the great Satan, by the way. But the Shah of Iran ran from Iran. He was going to be killed because of the Ayatollah Khomeini coming to power, and they reversed all the, we'll live with Israel. I'm not saying they were good friends or anything, but they weren't bitter enemies. But when this new regime came into Iran, they said that Israel had no right to exist and they needed to be pushed into the sea. And so that eliminates, as far as I'm concerned, that eliminates Psalm 83 as even being a part of what's going on right now. I think it was fulfilled with the What's it called? The Yom Kippur War.
Yeah.
I think that was the fulfillment of that. But anyway, there is going to come a time when all these countries are going to converge. That's Russia and Turkey, as you mentioned. I'm sorry?
Every last country.
Yeah, all of them. And so I think what's going to happen here is you're going to see the fulfillment of Isaiah 17, and that is the complete destruction of Damascus. And when that occurs, and by the way, the rapture can happen before, during, or after. I'm not putting any time frames on the rapture. Okay, the rapture can happen at any second or millisecond or whatever second you want to call it. Okay, but I believe that Isaiah 17 will be fulfilled, and that's going to be when the hooks in the jaw are going to pull Russia back down, along with all these different countries, and that is going to be the Gog and Magog war. Am I off beat there, David? Or you?
No, again, we're looking at this. And everything is in the Bible. Prophecy is there not for us to prognosticate, but for us to look at. And literally the moment after it happens, then we could look at it and say, oh, that's what he meant. Mm-hmm. And he designed it that way on purpose. It's esoteric, where you can't pinpoint exact dates except for Israel becoming a nation again.
Right.
And because that's his timetable. But all this other stuff, he does it specifically like that. This way, Satan can't come in. Again, he keeps him confused. That's why there's always types and patterns. Oh, and Satan's always looking around, and he's got to keep this Antichrist in the wings all the time because everyone thought it was Hitler. So, but he's got to keep him busy, basically, chasing him around. And that's what's happened. But as soon as each one of these is done, we're going to know. And we're going to know 100% when it's all over. And then we're going to say, wow, that's
over.
What he meant.
Yeah, when it's over. You know, one thing also, some people say, well, you know, if the rapture happens, then I'll deal with everything. You know, I don't believe it. I don't believe
you're
it. But,
the
you know,
with your head cut off.
Yeah. Yeah. If you become a Christian, you're going to die one way or the other really, really quick. And of course, that's okay. Because you're going to go to heaven.
Yeah, you get a secondary position, but that's better than hell.
I would prefer just to be taken rather than killed and tortured and put on display and put on TV and all that kind of stuff, killing me.
I ordered lamb and everything.
Yeah, I would prefer that. But I do believe everything's going to unfold very, very quickly. I also believe that the countdown clock started when Israel became a nation, and that. Yeah, I mean,
I just read something too. When was it that Israel was never in the land more than 80 years? So I gotta search that. But seriously, they were never actually a nation for more than 80 years at a time. Uh-huh. I don't know how true that is. So I gotta look that up, but it's interesting.
And the other part of that though is that God gave that land to Israel. Actually, it dates a lot further back than a lot of people realize. It goes all the way back to Genesis, you know, time of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's continued, and that both the country or the city of Jerusalem is named in the Bible hundreds of times as the capital of Israel. And now Islam wants to call Jerusalem its capital, but it's not mentioned in the Islamic Quran even once. Not once. Explain that one.
Yeah.
Well, that's just a crazy book. I mean, it's not even worth, honestly, not worth talking about. It's full of lies and garbage.
I read somewhere that...
What is it, corn?
I read somewhere that Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad... Mm-hmm. Actually wanted to be an Israeli prophet. He presented himself to Israel as a prophet to Israel, and they rejected him. And that's the reason for all this.
Kind of forced him into doing strange.
He had to start his own show.
Yeah, yeah. So, again, now, if you guys are out there somewhere in the Middle East and you can get out, I'm going to, again, suggest you do it because things are not going to get better. I don't care what the world preaches to you, things are not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, and it's going to go faster and faster and faster. And one of these days, all of us Christians are going to be gone. And I heard something where they were talking about, you know, the rapture and how all of a sudden everybody in the world is going to be concerned about how everybody left. I don't think so. I really don't. I think that there's some countries that aren't even going to realize a rapture occurred. Maybe one of them being the United States. I don't know.
And most will be glad.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people missing, but there's going to be more people that are still here. But more than that, I believe that people are going to be more concerned and focused on the fact that there was like a billion car wrecks and maybe 1,000 airplanes that crashed, you've got stars falling out of the sky, that you've got earthquakes and you've got tornadoes and you got, you name it, it's happening. I think people are going to be more focused on that than the fact that some people disappeared. I really do. I don't think that you're going to have too many people talking about who's missing. Those people were killed by everything that's going on. Go ahead.
When he comes back and he cracks a hole in time and space to come back and get us, that's going to be interesting. Imagine the EMP worldwide.
Yeah.
That's going to
exactly
fry everything. We're worried about
exactly.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That might be the distraction. Satan will be like, oh no, someone blew off this nuclear bomb, and
right.
and it won't be like on the news where all these people are missing. It'll be like we wouldn't know because no one could get the news at that time until they rebuild the infrastructure.
Until they rebuild it, and then they'll tell people that what happened was. Is that these earthquakes and different things that occurred? That's what happened to your loved one.
They were killed there.
You know, they went away there. That's just an opinion, Terry. That's just an opinion. You may have a different one.
I want to remind Joel of the conversation we had. Oh my goodness, near the beginning of when we first started this, and we read the passage in Ezekiel 38, and we got to, remember, Joel, we got to the discussion on the swords. And so I was trying to update it, and Joel was like, no, it says, because he'd been listening to me too much, and he said, no, it says swords. It says swords, so it must mean swords. And so then I got thinking about it, even in this conversation as an example, as a support of it, that if an EMP, and I think you may be right, David, that when Jesus comes for us and we go up, very well it could result in what we look at as an EMP. And if it does, then we go back to the Ezekiel 38 and the horses and the swords. That falls right into place.
Amen.
Because everybody, it wasn't really horses. It wasn't really. And they say, I've heard, I don't know if you've heard it, David or Joel, but I have heard and read for years that there are literally millions of horses in China.
Yeah.
And as an example. And so,
I just go by
possibilities.
What I go by, Terry, and the reason I said I really do believe that will be fought with swords and shields and horses and all that stuff is because the Bible is true. From Genesis through Revelation. And in Ezekiel 38, again, it lays out the exact country names. So if it's laying out the exact country names, then why would it deviate from that?
With a different genre.
Right. And not come up with, what it says, which is the short swords and bucklers and shields and all that kind of stuff. If you don't have the technology, then you're going to be fighting a war like they would in the Stone Age, basically. I mean, it'd be a little more advanced than that, but not a lot, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I don't know how to build it back faster because we've already done it, but nonetheless, for some period of time. So I'm of the opinion, and not dogmatic about it, but the rapture at some point would say, okay, that would trigger the exact 7-year thing. But I think it would trigger a series of events. So the rapture could happen, and then however long, a month or 30 year,
right?
Whatever,
I agree.
Series of events.
Yeah.
And then also I kind of lean towards when it says he'll sign the covenant. I think that might allude to the fact that this Antichrist will look like the good guy to Israel and enforce the covenant that Israel has to inhabit the land.
Correct. Right. Well, and that kind of points here to Ezekiel verses 7 through 9. You know, prepare yourself and be ready, you and all your companies that are gathered about you, and be guard for them. After many days, you'll be visited. So, you know, if this was to happen at the moment of the rapture, then it's the way that I read that. And again, I'm not trying to put an interpretation on it, but just an opinion about it. The way that I read that is that once the rapture occurs, and let's say the, you know, the spiritual EMP explodes, like both you guys are talking about, it's going to take armies a minute to figure out how to fight, right? It's going to take them. It's going to take them many days to figure that out, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, so, that would make sense. Yeah.
So then it says, in the latter years, you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Terry and I have had for many months a difference of opinion on, you know, everybody's going to live, you know, there'll be safety and security and all that before the rapture happens. We've had a different interpretation of that, or different understanding. I hate the word interpretation. Anytime I say that, please understand, I'm not trying to interpret the Bible. I'm going by my understanding as a human being who has no idea how God's going to play this out. Okay. But anyway, it says all of them dwell safely. Now that tells me that this is all post rapture. Because if you look around right now, if you look at the world right now, if you can tell me that safety exists anywhere in the world, point to it. Because I just don't see it. Okay. So, believe it or not, guys, we're done for today. And we covered like one scripture and a paragraph, and that's it. So obviously we're going to keep going further, because that war is going to rage on, and it's going to continue to rage on. I promise you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Don't think this is going to be over in a few weeks or months or whatever. This is going to rage on, in my opinion. So, David, real quick, you got like a minute to tell us about thehiddenday.com. I want to get that in there where people can visit you. Go ahead.
The Hidden Day is the name of our ministry in the House of Paxton Shalom. So, Lord has given me the mandate to speak on all of these things, basically right from the beginning to the end, because it's all tied together. The beginning is at the end, and the end is at the beginning. Amen. So I teach upon creation all the way through unto the end times, and then how to live our lives in between. So if you go there, I'm revamping the site too, so you can go there, but you can look for The Hidden Day on YouTube and or Rumble, the Telegram. If you have Telegram, you could join the group in there too, the Hidden Day. And you could do thehiddenday@protonmail.com, and I'll send you a link if you can't find any of that.
Okay. And again, now that, for those of you not watching us in visual form, that is, it's all together, thehiddenday.com, thehiddenday.com. And if you're really interested in Terry's books, and I hope you are, just use your favorite search engine and go to T.L. Farley Books. Okay, until next time, that's going to be it for us in this edition of The Last Christian. Hope that you'll join us again if the Lord doesn't come and get us before then. For everyone, good night, and may God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
They are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.